Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Repercussions Division.
Repercussions, that's the way you say it, not repercussions.
Here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yes, and this is the repercussions of that puzzler of yours. In fact, this is sent to us by Don Hatosi. Maybe we shouldn't have mentioned his name. And the subject of his email was your damn puzzler.
Oh.
Tom and Ray, usually your infantile puzzlers take me no more than 15 minutes to conjure up the correct answer, but last week's was driving me crazy and has caused unexpected problems. I'm in my kitchen last night, which happens to have a double light switch, and I'm trying to figure out your prisoners and the light switch puzzler. As I go through the various scenarios, I flip the switches, testing my different hypotheses. Soon, there is a policeman at the door asking me if anything is wrong. He tells me that various neighbors have seen my lights blinking in strange sets of 23 and thought I was signaling a distress call. He asked if I would stop until I could tell my neighbors what I was doing so they wouldn't call 911 anymore. I agreed, but in 2 minutes after they left, my house is full of concerned neighbors asking me, what happened? I got the same look from them as I did the police officer. They all left mumbling. I think it was something like, what a shame, he was so young.
Right. We thought he was normal.
Yeah, I mean,
jeez, I'm sorry.
I mean, the guy was trying to use the empirical approach. And he's flipping his switches there.
Yeah, the hands-on approach always works best for me.
But I have to say that this is one of the few puzzlers, now that I think of it, that you didn't obfuscate or unclarify.
Didn't have to.
Came
that way out of the box.
Pre-unclarified. You actually went out of your way to make it understandable.
I thought I did.
Yeah, so unlike you.
I know it as well. You'll see what happens today. Anyway, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Conrad calling from Barre, Massachusetts.
Hi, Conrad. What's up?
So I've got it's a red 86 Honda Civic. It's been sitting out in the wintry, cold weather for about 3 months. I went to drive it the other day, and the emergency brake was frozen onto the car. So my question is, what am I supposed to do to get it free?
Oh, jeez.
Well, I mean, you can wait for the spring thaw.
I need to drive it, though.
No, even that's not going to do it. You know what happens is the shoes, the brake shoes, you know, when you pull on the emergency brake handle, this 86 Civic has brake shoes in the rear, which is the only brakes that the emergency brake acts on is the rear brakes.
Yeah.
And those shoes get pushed out by the tension on this cable that you've tugged on against the drums.
Okay.
And they have rusted in place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, have you tried to move it at all?
I've got underneath it with a hammer and tried to bust it up.
Yeah?
That didn't work so well.
What were you hitting, like the gas tank?
I just tried
hitting the brake shoes with a hammer.
Oh, you did? Did you see the cables while you were under there?
I didn't. No, I didn't have the brain to look for those.
Ah. Well, you want to crawl under there again and find the cables.
Yeah.
And
shake them.
Yeah. Grab onto it and just yank it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to suggest that that's not going to fix it.
I agree. Because probably not.
Because the shoes have, in a sense, welded themselves to the drums.
Because we've had some warm days, and if it were the cables that were frozen, they would have thawed out by now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's rust.
It's rust.
Mm. Yeah. What were you doing with this car that it could sit for all these months without being driven? I mean, well, what weren't you doing with it?
I was trying to avoid saying that, but I work at a meditation center out here in Barre.
Yeah.
And you know, you can sit for meditation for 3 months, so you leave your car out in the park for 3 months during the winter.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what you get, man, for nirvana. That's always the price you pay.
there's always a price to pay.
Yeah, it's true.
Here's what I'm going to suggest.
Yeah, I'm going to suggest the same thing.
Well, how far are you from the closest gas station?
About 3 miles.
3 miles. Well, you do have a front-wheel drive car. And the worst-case scenario, you could just drag the rear wheels there.
Or raise them up off the ground.
Right,
roller
right,
skates.
Right.
Roller skates are a floor jack.
Here's what you should try to do. You should try to rock the car back and forth as best you can. In other words, let the clutch out. Try to go forward. It won't. Throw it in reverse. Try to go backwards. And hopefully, you will free them up.
Mm-hmm.
But when you can't,
Go down to that. Walk down to that gas station and borrow their oxyacetylene torch.
Now have them just tow it over, and they're gonna have a devil of a time getting the drums off too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gonna tell you that the next time you park it for the winter, do not set the handbrake.
Yeah.
And don't forget, if nothing works, you won't care. I mean, what's brakes compared to Nirvana?
Yeah, exactly. I like that.
Diddly squat, as we say.
See you, Conrad.
Yeah,
good luck, man.
Bye-bye. 188.
I wonder if he met Omian Aspiavados while he was in his trance-like state.
Everyone meets Omian Aspiavados.
Sooner or later.
Exactly. For those of you who don't know, that's Tommy's alter ego.
Yeah.
His imaginary friend.
Yeah.
Omian.
I think. I don't really know.
I had an imaginary friend called Fred.
Might be the same guy.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
Because if you reach Nirvana, you got to have a name. You can't be Fred. Hi, I'm the Dalai Fred.
Well, I always thought that was unusual.
Dalai Lama Fred. No, you got to be Omian Aspiavados.
You have to have a mysterious name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. That's why Fred and I parted ways. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Pat from Danbury, Connecticut.
Pat, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you? I'm so excited. This is great.
Is Danbury the pierogi capital of the world?
I don't know. It's Hat City. They used to make hats around.
Oh, it's the hat capital. Okay.
Hat capital. Yeah. Definitely the hat
capital.
Mahatma
Coat.
Yeah,
he lives there.
What's up, Pat?
Well, my husband wants me to put this to you very objectively. We live about 0.3 miles from the bus stop, which doesn't seem far, but when it's really cold out or raining or snowing or really windy, he walks my girls up there, our daughters, his stepdaughters, and he won't drive them up there even though it's really cold. Now, they go to a parochial school, and they wear kilts and knee socks. They can't wear pants.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, he's from Maine, you know how those people are, and he says you have to drive a car at least 8 miles or else you're only getting 2 miles a gallon because it's only running on gas and the oil's not going through the engine.
Whatever, yeah.
But he doesn't think he should have to drive them to the bus stop.
Well, he's nice enough to walk them to the bus stop.
Oh, it is. It's great. He's a wonderful man. I love him dearly, but he just has that New England thriftiness, you know, and he's afraid he's going to ruin the car.
Cheapskate.
Chiseler. No, he's not. I would never say that about you. He's not a cheapskate, but he thinks he's going to hurt the car.
Well, Chiseler. Waste not, want not. I mean, it's ridiculous to ruin a car when you know it can last for 50 years if you take care of it.
He said, now when you talk to them, you be sure and tell them that I want the car to last. They'll tell you can drive to the bus stop, but then the car's not going to last.
Yeah, no, we're on your husband's side. What's his name?
You're kidding. Jake.
Jake.
Jake
is 100% correct.
Uh-oh.
No, I mean, if you drive the car 0.3 miles, you will wreck the car.
God.
Do the girls mind walking?
Sometimes they really mind walking, and they say, will you ask Jake if he'll drive us to the bus stop? And then I have to ask him, and then he goes, what's the matter? You know, when I was a kid, I walked 10 miles through.
That's right, in Maine, no less.
In Maine.
I mean, Danbury, Connecticut is close to tropical.
Well, compared to Maine, yeah.
Compared to Maine.
True.
And when he was a kid, he had to walk 10 miles to school.
Right.
And back then, they didn't have any legs.
And they didn't even have any schools.
Exactly. Right. They had to
kick walk around for 2 or 3 days.
They had to kick him to school. That gives them to kick him to school.
Like he says, it was uphill both ways.
It was uphill both ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Both ways.
Yeah, life was hard.
Life was hard, and he is not a wuss. And we have become a nation of wusses driving a car 0.3 miles. Unconscionable.
So what? How does this hurt the car?
Ah, it's a long story. Things happen.
Well, when the engine is cold, the gasoline that gets injected doesn't get combusted completely. You get washed down of the cylinder walls because a cold engine causes condensation of the vaporized gas.
The gasoline gets into the oil.
Dilutes the oil, so the oil becomes a poor lubricant, and the cylinder walls get scuffed, and your mileage gets terrible, which is the least of the problems.
The exhaust system gets rotted away.
Oh, God. It sounds...
It's a rotten story here, Pat.
No happy ending here.
It sounds terrible. So they're going to have to walk and just be cold.
Yeah, I mean, can't they wear leggings?
Well, you know, they can't. You know how kids are. They could, but then they say, well, we get to school and you have to take them off, and I don't have room in my book bag because I have so many books.
Well, tell them to give them to Jake, and Jake will carry them home.
There you go.
There we go. That's an idea. I think we may be on to something.
How old are these girls?
You guys can solve this problem.
How old are the girls?
9 and 12.
9 and 12, yeah.
Yeah.
They're hopeless at that age.
Right. Well.
By the way, can my son live with you for a year?
How old is he?
He's 16, and I'm going to kill him.
No 16-year-olds in my house.
Oh. No 16-year-old males, anyway.
No 16-year-old males.
But you'll be saving his life.
Oh, well.
Tough.
It would be, like, altruistic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
We'll have to talk about this later.
I'll send you pictures.
Okay, thanks a lot.
See you.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Tom up in Utica.
Hi, Tom.
Utica, New York.
Utica, New York.
What's up?
Well, I got a 93 Taurus with an oil problem. About a couple of weeks ago, this thing, the oil light started to go on. Sometimes it would flash and then go off. Sometimes it would stay on. No real pattern. And my wife and I both thought at the same time, that simultaneous spousal thought, bad oil pressure. So I called the dealer, sight unseen, over the phone. They said 185,000 miles, you need a new engine, which was a great diagnosis over the phone.
They're probably right.
Yeah.
That's what we would do over
the
phone.
They were wondering how you got to 185K.
This is not going well.
No.
All right, so I brought it in. They did a test. Sure enough, they said, you have no oil pressure, but we priced out a new rebuilt engine for you.
Okay.
So at work, I tell the boys at work, and they say to me, you know, put in a can of STP and a heavier grade oil. You'll build up enough pressure. You'll be fine. So I'm thinking, somebody here's a genius, somebody here's a quack, and I got to go to the guys who can beautifully straddle the line between genius and quack.
Because we're genius quacks.
Because we're one of each, too.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal.
Go ahead. He'll tell you the deal.
I'm going to tell you the whole deal here. You should absolutely put in a heavier oil and a couple of cans of STP.
Okay.
And then carry with you a screwdriver.
A screwdriver.
Yeah. So you can take the plates off when the engine seizes by the side of the road.
Well, it's not like...
No, but you'll get some time out of it. You will get some time out of it. But there's nothing that's going to change to make the oil pressure come back.
What are your hopes and aspirations
for this car?
What did you want us to say?
What I would have loved to have known is if a simple oil, maybe a new oil pump.
No, I mean, if you have low oil pressure.
Yes.
It derives from one of at least two sources that I can think of immediately. One is the oil pump, and one is that all the bearings are worn out.
Oh, that's what they said.
The main...
But they didn't look.
No.
They didn't look.
All right, here's what you do.
Okay.
Take it to a gas station or, you know, a regular repair shop that's not as affiliated with Ford.
Right.
And tell them that you want them to drop the pan.
Okay.
Which is not that hard to do on this car.
Similar to dropping trowel.
It would freeze up here if we did that.
Right.
Yeah.
And when they drop the pan, what they're going to be able to then do is take off some of the main bearing and connecting bearing caps.
Right.
And they can inspect them visually. They can see if they've been ruined by lack of lubrication, because if you do have low oil pressure, regardless of the cause, if the bearings have been ruined, then the engine is toast.
Right.
But if they haven't been ruined and they can check, you can put in a new oil pump and you might be lucky.
Really?
Well, you might be lucky for a year, 2 years.
You might be.
Hey, that buys me some time.
It buys you some time and it gives you something to do.
Right.
See, if you
snow blowing.
See, and they, I mean, the other guys who say you need an engine, that's kind of the no-brainer solution to it.
Yeah.
If you were down in Mexico, they wouldn't be putting in any stinking engine in your car. They'd be doing exactly what my brother just described.
Okay.
And you're going to do whatever it takes to keep the thing running.
That's exactly what I got to do.
Of course, this might cost you $500 as opposed to, what was the quote they gave you at the dealer?
$3,000 for a rebuild.
Not bad.
No, gee, I'd go for that. No, that isn't bad.
That isn't bad, no.
All right.
But you can always do that.
It's a 93 vehicle.
I understand that. Right. And you have 185,000 miles. Were you hoping to get to two?
Well, yeah, we'd turn it over to two, and then we'd have a big party.
Why don't you just have the party?
Well,
spend the $3,000 on the party.
We might end up doing that.
Well, you might. I would say it's worth the chance. I'd have the guys take the pan down.
Right.
And if they say it's hopeless, then you've got to decide if you want to spend the $3,000. If not, you just junk it.
Okay. I mean, this thing was it was running beautifully until all of a sudden this light starts blinking.
Well, I'm gonna suggest that the pump's gonna fix it.
Really?
That would be great.
That would be great. Isn't that what you wanted to hear?
That's what I was hoping.
We want to please the callers.
You're pleasing me if this is the case.
I'm on your side, Tom.
I'm with you.
Good luck, Tom.
Thank you.
See you later.
All right.
Bye bye. All right, look, it's time for me to pose my weekly question to you, Tommy.
Oh, no.
And you know what it is. Do you remember anything about last week's puzzler?
Not a single thing. There was no puzzler last week.
No, huh? Well, I'm surprised because you are very familiar with the star of this puzzler.
Really?
Yes, I'll give you a hint. The puzzler star is someone who frequently looks dumb but really isn't.
What?
No, you don't fit the second half of that description. It features our old trusty mechanic, Krusty, and a run-in with the local constabulary, and we'll be back with the whole story and more of your car questions in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
It's the best thing that I ever bought. The headlights broke and the rear end shot. I'll drive it till I get caught. It's just a $150 car. Well, when I turn the wheel and I touch a brake, it does a right side shimmy and a left hand shake. I need her fixed, I go to hell and wait. I go to hell and wait.
And even though the FCC adds people to the weekend shift whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about what? Cars, car repair, and of course the answer to last week's puzzler, which I'm sure my brother remembers now.
I certainly do.
You do not.
I do not.
Anyway, someone sent in the kernel of this puzzle some time ago, but unfortunately, I lost it along with my tickets to the Automotive Air Freshener Convention in Toledo. But I'll press on the best I can anyway, and here it is. It was Monday morning, and Krusty was up bright and early and ready for his commute to work. The day before had been a lousy day, and he sensed that today might be worse, hence the early start. Anyway, Krusty carefully backed out of his driveway and drove to the end of the street. He slowed as he approached the stop sign there and, of course, came to a full stop before making his way through the intersection. At the next intersection, he slowed and stopped for that stop sign as well. Just then, he noticed the flashing light of a police car in his rearview mirror, the all-too-familiar sign to pull over and produce a license and registration. And a $50 bill, usually.
Yeah, right.
The officer approached, citation book in hand, and Krusty asked, "Is there a problem, officer?" Doesn't everyone always say that?
Yeah.
No brake lights, he says.
You've got a problem there.
I've followed you since you pulled out of your driveway. I've watched you make two complete stops at stop signs, and I didn't see any brake lights come on. Krusty says, "No way, man. My brake lights work just fine. I'll show you." So he asks the police officer to go and stand by the back of the car, and then he puts it in gear and heads for the hills. No, he asks the officer to go and stand by the back of the car while he steps on the brake pedal. All three of the brake lights come on, just as Krusty had predicted. The question is, how did he pull this off?
Yeah.
Well,
I like it.
I know you do, now that you remember it.
Yeah.
You remember it now?
I do remember it now, and I remember that I remembered it last week.
Good. There is a road back.
There is.
Well, Krusty didn't pull anything off, really.
No, he didn't.
He just stepped on his brake pedal.
That's right, because he wasn't stepping on it the other times.
He wasn't, because the day before he had lost his brakes. It would have been embarrassing to be towed to work.
Oh.
So he was hoping to drive to work and stopping using his emergency brake, which, of course, doesn't make the brake lights come on.
No, it does not.
Had he known he was being followed by the police, he would have used the emergency brake to slow and stop the car.
Yeah.
And he would have stepped on the brake as well, but thinking he wasn't being followed.
Exactly.
He got a little careless, and hence the stop.
Well, I stopped this way frequently with my wonderful little car, my MGTD.
Oh. And why, pray tell, do you do that?
Just to screw up the police that are stopping me looking for my brake lights. Because my brake lights don't work.
Well, if they ever asked you to turn on your windshield wipers, you'd be in trouble. Anyway, who's our winner?
The winner is Gene Sager from Wessington, South Dakota. And for having her correct answer chosen at random from the garbage bag full of correct answers that we got.
And as soon as they chisel her out of the ice.
Yeah. If they can chisel her out of the ice, she's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division. Yes, you heard that right, folks. $26. And with that gift certificate, Gene, you go to the Shameless Commerce area of the site and pick out anything you want as long as it's on the cheap side. Yeah.
Boy, we're real big spenders. Anyway, we will have a brand new puzzler, not automotive in nature.
Oh.
Well, I don't think so. I don't know. I haven't really decided yet, but it will be new nevertheless. And it's coming up in the third half of today's show, so don't touch that dial. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
See, we're not used to hearing numbers that way. So there isn't a person within hearing of our voices who could ever remember that number the way you gave it.
What? 1-888-227-8255.
Yeah, I mean, we don't remember things. You can't get a mental image.
I'm starting a new wave.
You are. Yeah, I like it. I like people who are in the forefront of new ideas and new technologies.
Lunatic fringe, they call
that's
that,
it.
Right? Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Leon calling from Milwaukee.
I'll give you $100 if you can repeat the phone number without using letters.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Okay. Where are you from, Leon?
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee.
That's right.
What's up?
Well, I have a Toyota station wagon, which I love to pieces. Mm-hmm. My problem is not so much with the car as it is with the roads that it's driven on. Mm-hmm. And it's probably a problem that a lot of people up here in the Midwest have. When it snows here, and when they plow, you, of course, get these big drifts on the sides of the road.
Yeah.
And often when you go to park someplace, you're left with a choice. Either you park 3 feet from the curb to avoid the drift, or you have to park with your curbside wheels up on the drift, which means they're 7 inches or sometimes as much as a foot higher than the wheels on the other side of the car.
Yeah.
So my question is, does this hurt the car? Does this hurt the suspension? Does it slosh the fluids around? Does it mess with the battery or the crankcase or something like that?
It does throw off the equilibrium. There's no question about it.
And it is causing spin down, I think they call it.
Down. What's that?
Well, the Earth is slowing down as a result of because of the air resistance created by all these cars parked at an angle like this. You know.
I'm thinking the fluids, a foot.
No.
It's not going to do anything to fluids.
And it's not going to hurt your springs or your ball joints or any of that stuff. I mean, I can't believe
I
it.
I would
could.
Never worry about it.
Is it going to bother the integrity of the undercarriage?
No.
No. I mean, I think it's preferable, given the risks involved, to leave the car parked like this as opposed to sticking out in the middle of the street where some bozo is going to come by and knock off a $175 remote-controlled mirror.
See, on the contrary, I would always recommend the other approach.
Parking in the middle of the street?
Yeah, I mean, I look forward to snowstorms, so I can take my car and park not only the foot away from the snowbank, but the snowbank is taking up another 2 feet, so I'm parked basically in the middle of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And if I put my wife's car on the other side of the street, I have virtually clogged up traffic on the entire street.
This is how you get body work done to your car, huh? Someone smashes into it?
Yeah, and that's it. Someone smashes into it, and I get another 50-gallon drum of Bondo. So I think it's good that you park in the middle of the street to slow down all those bozos who are probably driving their four-wheel drive pickup trucks in the snow because they think that that's fun to do. That's,
right. And if
that's
it means
my
you occasionally have to give up a mirror or a couple of quarter panels.
So what? It's
so
nothing.
What, Leon?
That's
sounds
right.
Like you'd have to occasionally give up a Toyota if you
or a Toyota,
maybe.
Whatever.
Yeah, is it too much to ask?
Well, I really like this car.
But I wouldn't worry about it. I don't think you're hurting anything. You're not spilling fluids out of any place.
Unless you got a full cup of coffee in the cup holder. You could easily spill that.
That has happened.
Yeah. Well, other than that, you're not going to hurt much of anything that I can think of.
Okay.
But don't park like my brother.
No.
See you, Leon.
Good
okay.
luck, Leon.
So
long. Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to chase the mice out of the MG?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. Stump the Chumps is that part of the show in which we invite a previous caller back onto the show to find out if our advice was right as rain or wrong as...
As what?
As usual.
And who's our lucky contestant this week, Tommy?
Well, according to the little notes I have here, it's Betsy, who was originally from Ferrisburg, Vermont, but drove to New Orleans and found that gasoline kept pouring out of her 88 Toyota pickup truck. And I mean pouring out.
Oh, this is the mud chigger lady.
That's her.
From Ferris Bueller, Vermont. I remember her mechanic was trying to convince her that she had these little things called mud chiggers obstructing her fuel line, and that was causing pressure to build up and gasoline to pour out.
Mud chiggers.
I like it.
Yeah.
You can actually get gas to back up this line, which comes into the very top of the tank.
And what's supposed to go through that line is gasoline vapors.
Vapors, right.
Right. The reason I ask if the tank could be removed, it's entirely possible that somebody has crisscrossed some of the lines. Because there's also a return line.
Yeah, but, I mean,
yeah, wouldn't
she
I have had
drove
a problem
down
before
from
this, huh?
Ferris Bueller, Vermont.
Ferrisburg,
New Vermont.
Yeah, the crisscross answer sounds about as good as a mud chicken.
That'll be enough.
All right, here's how we left it. Since her mechanic had checked practically the entire fuel system already, we told Betsy that our best guess was that it had to be a problem inside the tank. That was safe.
Yeah.
And that the mechanic was going to have to drop the gas tank.
I remember this.
And see if there was some kind of obstruction or misconnected tubing inside the tank.
Oh, like a mud chigger colony?
Betsy, are you there?
Yes, guys, I'm here. How are you doing?
All right, now before you tell us what happened, we must first ascertain that the testimony you're about to give is in no way influenced by our staff, the staff of National Public Radio, or the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Mud Chiggers.
Is that true?
Is that true, Betsy?
I think I can testify truthfully to that.
Okay. And do you still have the problem?
No, the problem has been cured.
Oh, my God.
And?
How?
And?
It was the mud chiggers.
I hate to break it to you, but you were wrong. I'm sorry.
Why am I not surprised at this one?
Well, so I returned to him with my notes on your advice and asked him if he would drop the tank, and pretty much he refused to do
good.
It.
Good. That was good.
He wouldn't do it. And I mean, there was nothing I could do to get him to do it. And in fact, I've never had this happen before, but he pretty much just admitted defeat and gave up.
Really?
And
so he didn't refuse to do it because he thought we were just a couple of complete wackos.
He just
no threw up his hands.
What it was.
Yeah.
So I went to his next door neighbor, guy called, believe it or not, a mechanic called Duty, and a great guy with just a wonderful temperament, wonderful sense of humor. And I came in and explained the problem to him. And as I was explaining it to him, he had his aide start typing things into his computer. He says this $20,000 computer that he never diagnoses a problem without consulting first. So I thought that was a good sign.
Karnak,
liked it. Very high tech.
The Oracle, yeah.
He saw the truck the very next day and immediately repaired it, and it is fixed.
What did he repair?
The problem was a defective evaporative
emissions canister.
Emission control canister.
Yeah, well, that was... Gee,
which I had actually mentioned to you guys, and you said, no, that's not it.
Well,
and we sort of skipped right over it.
Boy.
It was the canister, the charcoal canister under the hood.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with
the
charcoal.
Fuel vapors.
I'm very familiar with it, and I hope... I sincerely hope that the problem doesn't return.
I hope it doesn't as well.
Betsy, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps and making us look like a couple of chumps.
Well, Duty did great.
Duty is the man. I highly recommend him.
But call us back if the problem returns. So
wait, don't we want one of those computers?
I want one of those computers. It's great.
I have one. It doesn't
it
help.
It's like the magic oracle.
Wow. I love it.
He was so confident. But, yeah, I have some concerns that the problem is going to return because when I open up, that...
Gas cap,
boy, is the pressure blowing out of there. I mean, it really is making...
Well, if the problem
does
come back, you must call us and let us know to find out if my brother was completely wrong when he dismissed it. Because he may not have been.
All right. Well, does that mean you'll look at the truck when it's back in Boston?
Yes. This may be a temporary fix.
Okay.
See you, Betsy.
Thank you guys very much for your help.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Hey, by the way, if you hear a caller who you think would make a good candidate for Stump the Chumps, you can email us from cartalk.com, where we're always open to suggestions.
Other than suggestions about where we can stick our show, we already have enough of those. If you have a question for us, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 8882. 2782-55.
Now you're getting the hang of it.
I love it.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Tim from Cincinnati.
Hey, Tim, what's happening?
Well, I got a problem with my 1995 Honda Civic. It's a beautiful little car. I love it dearly, but I need it to last me 8 more years, and on the road it's going, I'm not sure it's going to make it.
How many more years?
8.
8.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
It's a Honda. Come on.
All right.
We should be able to do it.
We shall do our best.
Okay. I just moved from Columbus, Ohio, down to Cincinnati. Before I moved, I did most of my driving on the highway. Now that I'm in Cincinnati, I live close enough to where I work and go to school that I do mostly city driving. And in that, my engine sort of developed a funny noise to it. And try as I might, I can't replicate the noise, but it sounds sort of... Have you ever picked up a little refrigerator?
Yeah, and the noise I heard was, oh, my back!
Well, if you ever do that, you hear the compressor shaking in the back, sort of a hollow kind of rattling noise.
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly the noise. It's the compressor springs.
Right.
The compressor is on this motor mount thing, kind of, so that the vibration doesn't get transmitted to the floor of your dorm room.
Right, exactly.
Thereby keeping the rest of the students awake all night.
Well, that's the noise that's coming from my engine.
Right, it's going to
go. Exactly.
And it's coming all the time?
Well, only if I'm accelerating at low speeds, going from, zero just up to 25, where I'm not in any hurry to get there.
Do you have a tachometer?
No.
Oh, you got the cheap model, huh?
Oh, no, wait, I do have a tachometer. You're wrong. I'm wrong.
All right. We're wrong enough, usually. So you have a tachometer. I bet you'll notice that it always happens at the same RPM, or very close. So there's a range. It might happen between 24 and 2600 RPM, for example. And beyond that, you don't get it, and below it, you don't get it.
Because it's a sympathetic vibration.
Okay.
Yes. And what it is...
It's saying, Tim, I can sympathize with you.
We're sorry you had to move to Cincinnati. No, I think what's vibrating is something called a heat shield.
Okay.
And heat shield vibrations come in many sizes and colors and whatnot. And your description was interesting. Because that is one of the ways, one of the sounds that loose heat shields make, that kind of a springy sound.
Does the space shuttle make that? Because it has heat shields,
yeah. It's only when the tiles fall off. So you need to take it to a gas station and have them put it on the lift and bring it up to whatever RPM it takes to get it to make the noise.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll hear it. And standing underneath the car, they'll hear it.
They'll hear it, and they'll either secure the thing or weld it or remove it or whatever.
Or put some gum on it.
Yeah. But that's it. If that's the only problem you have in the next 8 years, you'll be very
lucky. You're
all
set, man.
Okay.
Take care, Tim.
Thanks, guys.
See ya. Bye-bye. All right. It's that time of the show again.
Is this where the flute-playing, flaxen-haired wood nymphs burst into the studio, shower us with cherry blossoms, and dance an interpretive modern dance to the rites of spring?
Well, no, this is where Berman kicks down the studio door and hangs up a few more no pest strips.
And we'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute.
Well, the white lines are rolling and Illinois is tolling. I'm logging in some miles. The cobra's squawking and the garment's talking to me every little while. I head down and around the old shy town. Wisconsin's just behind. Hauling a load to Ohio and I ain't wasting. safe side, 'cause Dixie's such a long way down the line. Long ago, but not forgotten, stripping my way down rows of cotton, memories that glisten and shine. When my eyes fell on that Dixie Highway sign.
And even though the NPR dietitian switches us to an all-raw spinach diet whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
I'm excited. Well, I'm really looking forward to this.
Oh, shut up. No, I have two pairs of Puzzlers that are related. So each pair is related.
Yeah.
But not to the other pair. In other words,
I got you. Yeah, right? Yeah.
So I have two Puzzlers that are similar, and then I have another two Puzzlers coming up in you know, the next few weeks that are also similar.
So you'd like to use these like sequentially, the similar ones.
Or non-sequentially.
Or non.
Yeah. Whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Or chronologically.
Or non-chronologically.
Yeah.
But the beauty of these puzzles is their brevity.
Yeah.
As opposed to last week's.
And their autonomy, yes. I suppose.
Yes, they are autonomous.
And their relatedness.
And their relatedness.
In another sense.
And this, the first one is arithmetic, and I use this on the staff last week.
Oh, man.
And I, right, you remember this one and the second one?
I do remember
all right,
this.
All right, go and get a bunch of matchsticks.
Yeah.
We'll wait.
Time's up.
A piece of paper and a pen which you can represent matchsticks. Mm-hmm. We're going to make a fraction. The numerator of this fraction is going to be Roman numerals.
Yeah.
Okay? And the Roman numeral that's the numerator is 23, which is two X's.
X, X, I, I.
Right.
And so you can see these being made up of matches, two matches making up.
Okay, then you're going to take a bunch of matchsticks and make your line, and then the denominator is going to be 7 in Roman numerals, which is V, I, I. And then an equal sign, it's a little equation, equals 2, which is represented by two vertical
matchsticks,
I, I. Okay, Roman numeral 23, X, X, I, I, over Roman numeral 7, which is VII, equals 2, which is II, Captain. Now, obviously, this equation is wrong.
Right.
Berman says it is.
It's close, though.
It's close enough. I mean, what the heck?
For Berman, it's close enough.
Your challenge is to move one matchstick and make the equation correct. Now, you cannot turn it into, you cannot take one matchstick, for example, and make it 22 over 7 does not equal
That was my pretty quick solution.
Yeah, that's bogus. That's completely bogus. So inequalities are not allowed.
Right. So the question is, how can you move one matchstick and make this into an actual equation?
There you go. Now, if you think about
equation.
Equation.
An equality.
Yes. So to speak.
And by the way, one of the issues that came up was, if I take one of the matchsticks away from the X, I will be left with a sort of diagonal facing line.
And that's bogus.
And
that doesn't
mean nothing.
That means
no,
squat.
You can't do that,
right.
Is the answer. No,
exactly.
You can't do that.
You can't.
You can't do that.
If you know the answer, or think you know the answer, or just want to write to us otherwise, send your response to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Massachusetts, 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is John calling from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
No kidding.
Hi, gee, I think I've been there, but...
It's nothing to write home to Mom or Papa.
I didn't write home, now that I remember. So what's going on, John?
Well, I have a problem with that 96 Toyota Land Cruiser, which 3 years ago I went to the Philippine Islands out in the Pacific.
Really?
I shipped the Land Cruiser there.
Mm.
Had all my routine maintenance done by my Philippine driver in the garage there. I shipped it back this summer, and while driving it from the port here to Fayetteville, the engine exploded. So the dealership put a brand new engine in.
What did that cost you?
Well, they closed the dealership for a week, and they said they were taking all their wives to Las Vegas. So.
Yeah, that'd be about right.
Yeah. Yeah. That had to be some big...
So, do you work for the State Department, or are you in the military?
I'm in the military.
You're it sounds to me like you're a captain or a major.
Well, a little bit more than that.
More than that.
All right.
Huh? Colonel John.
Colonel John, right.
Colonel John. Okay, Colonel.
So, it kept making this high-pitched squeaking noise.
And this is after you got the new engine.
After I got the new engine, but it actually had been making that a little bit in the Philippines. Well, now it became intense. So I brought it in. They said, it's your power steering system. They open it up and go, someone filled your power steering system with motor oil.
I could believe that.
They drained it all, and the squeaking's gone away, but they want to put in a new power steering gearbox. And
sure, they want to go back to Vegas.
And I'm wondering, do I need a new gearbox, power steering gearbox and pump, or can I, you know, it's running fine now?
Well, you know...
Did they flush it?
Yeah, they said they flushed it, but they said they couldn't get everything out of the system.
Well, yeah. The most likely thing to happen... You know what happened, I guess? Your guy in the Philippines put the motor oil in the power steering and put the power steering fluid in the engine. That's probably what
That's
happened.
That's probably why the engine blew up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You'll never see him again.
No.
That's he knows
you
that.
You didn't
so.
Bring him back with you.
Right.
I mean, it's unlikely that anyone would have drained out all of the power steering fluid and filled it up with motor oil. I think what likely happened is that...
Topped it up.
They topped it. Whoever did it topped it up with motor oil. And the fact that it was making noise... was good that it alerted you that something was wrong.
Okay.
But I wouldn't do anything. I mean, they've drained it out. They've flushed it out. The worst that can happen is that it starts making noise again.
Okay.
Because that steering box and pump together have got to cost well over $1,000.
Yeah. They've got the prices, and they're nice. They know me well enough now. They've put their aftermarket prices on as well. You know.
Here comes Colonel John.
Right,
for a trip to Vegas.
Yeah, I would do nothing.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, what you might want to do, however, is if it's all right in a month or so, flush it out again.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. I think the worst thing that might happen is one of the seals may go. And if that happens, you replace the seal. The seals are only a few bucks.
Oh, okay. Great.
Good luck, Colonel.
Well, thank you very much, guys. You saved me a fortune, and the guys will curse you because they're not getting another Vegas vacation.
That's all right. Neither are we. See you later.
So see you.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 8882.
I wonder if he went to Bataan. That's where, isn't that where Back to Bataan is?
Yes.
Isn't that where Gregory Peck went?
Was that Gregory Peck?
Wasn't that him?
I think so. 8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jane from Alpine, Oregon.
Alpine?
Alpine, like A-L-P-I-N-E.
Exactly.
Okay.
What's up, Jane?
I have to drive about 30,000 miles a year, so I got myself a Volkswagen Jetta TDI. And I get 50 miles a gallon. I love it. It's a great little car.
Mm.
And about
That's the diesel.
Yes, it's
for
a
people
diesel.
Who don't know that's the diesel.
And for the last 3 months, I've been using biodiesel, which is, it's B20. It's a combination of about 20% recycled cooking oil and diesel.
And Paul Newman Caesar salad dressing.
Balsamic vinegar.
Balsamic vinegar.
Yeah.
Minus the garlic chips. next week, I'm going to go to 100% diesel, and that means that I'm going to get the recycled cooking oil delivered to my home in a 55-gallon drum.
Oh, 100% biodiesel. In other
right.
words, you're gonna eschew the petroleum diesel and go right to the French fry stuff.
The pure stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they will deliver it to your home in 55-gallon
yes.
drums?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
How many orders of fries do you have to order to get that?
I'm not sure because I don't eat French fries.
So these guys who are delivering your oil...
Uh-huh.
I have gotten it from these various facilities like Burger King and the like, and they're
And there is some fresh soy oil and then also beef tallow, and I'm not exactly sure where it's made, but my question is, where...
By the way, before we hear your question...
Yeah.
We're going to give you the answer.
We have no idea.
Yeah, we might as well just give you the answer now.
We know nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, we know maybe less than nothing about this.
But
that will not prevent us from giving you an erudite, well-conceived, coherent
and maybe
answer.
Even correct.
No.
Maybe. I said maybe. Go ahead, Jane.
Go ahead.
I'm going to make a little pad for the oil drum. And the question I have is, my car will have to be on an incline when I fill it at home, about a 20% incline. Should I have the nose up or the nose down when I fill my car at home?
You're filling. How are you going to get the stuff from the tank into the car?
They provide me a little pump.
A hand pump.
And I have to provide the garden hose segment that goes from the barrel to the pump. Yeah.
The answer is... It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew we would know the answer.
We dodged another bullet.
See that? You never know.
By the way,
uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you must think it matters, and we can probe a little deeper into this if we want to give you
why did you think it might matter?
I didn't know. I just thought,
yeah.
This is a good question for
well,
the guy.
Well, don't forget, you're going to stick the hose, the garden hose, into the gas tank through
right.
the filler tube.
Right.
And you're going to stick it in 4, 5, or 6 inches.
But here's right. one thing you're going to have to do one thing you need to pay attention to. You need to be able to watch it. Because unlike the fillers at the filling station,
yeah.
it won't shut off automatically.
Right.
So you don't want to. You don't want to. If the hoses are on the other side of the car and you can't see it as you're turning that handle, you're apt to pump several gallons of the stuff onto the ground before you realize you're doing it.
Well, you
that's
know,
all right. You just throw some lettuce around and you have dinner out there.
Absolutely non-toxic. So.
Of course. Well, I know that, but you don't want to waste the stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
So you want to be able to see it when it starts pouring out.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That,
Jane.
Otherwise, it makes no difference, Jane.
Okay.
And keep us posted. We're dying to find out how you make out with this.
Okay.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Howard calling from Memphis.
Hey, Howard, what's happening? Can we call you Howie?
Yeah, no, just stick with Howard.
Howard.
Oh.
Howie is the bane of anyone ever named Howard, I think.
Oh, is it really?
Well, how many attractive characters on sitcoms have you ever seen named Howie?
Yeah.
Well, that's the measure, huh?
Yeah, well, it's a start.
Howie Mandel.
Ooh.
And he's a comedian, right?
Yeah.
And you want to be taken more seriously than a clown like
that. If I was a serious guy, would I be calling you guys?
No. Howard. And where are you from?
Memphis,
Tennessee.
Oh, Memphis. What's up, man?
Well, I drive a 1989 Lincoln LSC Mark 7. Mm. And I have a rather embarrassing problem when I end my journey. Turn the car off. It really doesn't matter how long I sit in the car. When I get out of the car, slam the door, get about 4 steps away, my car does a Curly impersonation. It goes woo 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 woo. And it's, you know, it usually extracts some sort of comment from dates and that sort of thing, and I'm just curious as to what could be causing it.
Woo 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 woo.
Pretty much exactly, yeah.
And it won't do it if you're just sitting in the car. So if you stop...
I usually have to get out of the car.
Well, yeah.
Even if I sit in it for 5 or 10 minutes doing something and I get out of the car, it'll still do it.
I hate to ask a personal, delicate question, but you heavy?
No, I'm not. I'm no 300-pounder. I'll weigh about 200 pounds.
Well, I think this thing has a level ride system, if I'm not mistaken.
You're exactly right.
And I think that the level ride system is readjusting for your getting out of the car.
Yeah.
And that's
what would make the sound? That doesn't sound like something that they would have built in as a
No, there's something wrong with it, but it must make the sound when in fact you're moving, but you don't hear it because it's drowned out by all the other noises that are around.
Well, that's a good point.
I mean, can you tell where the sound is, what part of the car the sound is coming from?
It's definitely coming from the front.
Yeah, well, that's where the pump is.
Right.
So when the pump, and that's what's turning on is the pump.
Okay.
So there must be something wrong with it. It's going to blow out in about a week, and then you won't hear the noise anymore. Of course, your bumpers will be dragging on the ground, but...
Undercarriage will be sending sparks.
I mean, you haven't taken this in to get it looked at?
No, I haven't. I figured I'd call the experts first.
Yeah, and it does it every time, huh?
In varying degrees. Sometimes it's kind of just a whoop, and sometimes it's the full-blown Larry Moe and Curly.
Yeah. It'll be easy to find because they'll sit in the car and open and unlock the hood, and then as soon as you get out, you run to the front of the car, throw open the hood, and you'll see exactly where the noise is coming.
This big fat ball guy will step out, right?
The ball guy will step out, right? Yeah.
Well, good luck getting it fixed, but I think you should leave it. It's kind of a conversation piece, and if that's going to turn off a date right off the bat, then...
Well, once I figured out that my car was actually impersonating Curly, I've been able to turn it to my advantage.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think you should.
So just keep a little personality with it.
I think you should leave it, as a matter of fact.
So I'm going to tell people now that on your advice I've done this, so add another level of absurdity to it.
Sure, blame us.
No, better yet, say that you added it to the car.
Oh, yeah, right.
You got the Curly package.
Right.
Oh, don't you have the Curly package? I thought everybody did.
Yeah, it's like you got the Stooge edition.
They only offered this for a couple of minutes, and I happened to get
it. And you
happened
to be one of the guys who got one.
Knocked out the Curly package.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you, Howard.
See
you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, LSC. It must have something to do with Larry, Shemp, and Curly, right? Well, it's happened again. You've blown off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, frogman.
Punkin' Lips.
Punkin' Lips Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Santa Rita, Pita Fita, Bonita Margarita, and Charbro Cheetah Swap Mita, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our physical therapist is Estelle Hertz. Our furnace repairman is Levon Coates. Our director of top secret strategy is Donatella Nobody. Our staff ethicist is Morley Krupp. Our tolerance quality control guy is Nat Sass. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian Albin Heard before. Our travel agent from the Bombay office is Vishnu Verhiri. Our big band leader is Juan Anatou. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the other bums with broadband Wi-Fi in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like his brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1409, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, America's weirdest road signs as photographed by you guys, our listeners. We got photos of road signs that are hilarious.
Yeah.
Useless.
Yeah.
And some that are simply confounding, like my brother's hair. We need you to vote for your favorite. See them now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Carl Castle wonders if they're still looking for bounces at the Key West Applebee's whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.